Welcome to Perception Check, an actual play D&D podcast where we botch rules and create a hopefully fun story. If you're listening at home, pour a nice cup of tea or coffee, sit back, and I shall spin you a tale. Tale of a fateful trip. No, that's something else. Previously on Perception Check, war is inevitable as Nicholas Mage, the son of Oyarsa, released an army from the underworld. Smartledor is relying on our heroes and his charm to recruit anyone able to join the fight. The great kingdom of Prideborn fell into oblivion as Kit left our heroes to find himself. The golden gems were found to be gifts worn by Titan priests, and the huntsmen have pledged to help. Now we join our adventurers as they get ready for what's next.
Treasure and adventure await those who dare to seek what lies in the shadows of evil. This realm must call upon its newest heroes.
Hi, my name's Matt. I play Garrel Embersoul, the Genocide Wizard.
This is Adrian. I play River Song, the Wood Elf Druid.
Hi, I'm Josh. I play Erebus Blackheart, a Dragonborn Fighter.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I play Topher Biznach, the Wood Elf Ranger.
And I'm Corey, and I will be your Dungeon Master.
Now join us as we venture forth to glory on this episode of Perception Check.
Welcome to Perception Check, an actual play D&D podcast where we play D&D very badly and learn as we go.
Hooray!
Truth.
We're getting better.
We are getting better. We've been able to kind of shake some stuff up.
We're getting better at having fun. We're not getting better at following actual rules.
That's pretty true, yeah. And we are deviating and inventing a lot of new things, which we'll talk about a couple of those things here in a second. But first thing I want you guys to do is I want you to... out of six, pick a number. No one can pick the same number. But one, two, three, four, five, or six.
Five.
Three. Two.
Okay, write your numbers down.
Mm-hmm. Like how big?
On your sheet. Right. You're going to need it later, so it's something you'll want to have to look at.
I'm just going to be six then.
Oh, cool. Number matches your age. I love you. Anyway... so there's a few things that we're going to be doing a little bit different. We decided, you know, crits are fun, 20s and mm-hmm. one failures, but I want there to be a little bit more strategy, so we kind of came up with a new way to track crits. So if you're attacking someone and you crit, you can choose one of four things, which is focus, armor, hand, or movement. Depending on which one you choose, the DM will come up with an effect. So, say you crit someone and you hit them with a sword and you want to add in a focus. You want it to be focus. It's possible next round they can kind of get their bell rung and have disadvantage. Or, depending on how you hit them, you know, any number of things could happen to help you and add an additional extra effect, but it also works for you guys too. Matt, you're a wizard, so area effects count. Mm-hmm. So if anyone rolls a one and they're trying to get out of your thing, if they roll a one, then the same thing kind of goes.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, and it goes for you guys too. So if a monster casts a spell and you go to dive out of the way and you roll a one, you get to choose the damage it does. I'm going to let you decide that. I'm not going to decide that for you. And which one you want to take, which is like double damage or focus, armor, or movement.
So what are they again?
It is focus, armor, hand, or movement.
Which one's hand?
Well, hand would be like you could possibly knock a weapon out of their hand.
Oh, right.
If they're using a two-handed weapon and you get them really good in the arm, they'll have to switch over to one hand because they're not able to carry that weight. So it'll be a constantly changing variety.
And armor could be either lower AC or disadvantage on roll?
Yep, you could damage the armor. You could create an opening in the armor.
Okay, for double damage the next time that you hit or something? Okay.
Yep.
So or next time somebody else crits, anyway.
Yeah, so there is plenty of options. Double damage always happens with a crit.
Okay,
so that is definite.
Okay, right? And then for the those that roll 19 and 20 for crit, are we going to count that or just 20s?
I think we should keep it at the 20.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Just because that's harder. 19, you still get the double damage.
Yeah,
but for
sure.
One of those specialties,
that
it's
way
gotta
these
be
are
in
really
that
really
20.
Special.
Yeah,
got it.
I don't think anyone, any of us, crit in 19, anyways.
No, not right now.
Not
but...
yet. You need to choose. I'm letting you choose. Mm-hmm. You know, do I want to take a hit to focus and possibly get disadvantage? Do I want to affect my movement? Do I want to affect my armor? Or do, you know, mm-hmm. I want you guys to kind of have that idea.
Yep.
You know? Also, we kind of have a new setup when we get into combat. We are using a 3D tabletop app that we have Skyped through a tablet, and we'll be able to track your guys' movement and distance. I don't want that to be, you know, a major thing. I want you guys to play with the area, play with the space, get creative. Don't focus too much on that. But we'll be able to have a better idea on what's actually happening. All right. You guys didn't level up.
No, we're right? still 11.
Okay. So I think that was really everything I wanted to talk about. So do we want to get started?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Last one left off.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to explain that to us.
Cause yeah. It's been a while.
It's not out yet, and it's been a while.
Yeah. Talk to Oyarsa, and...
Oh, that's right.
Topher kissed her on the head, and it gave his lips special rainbow powers, and he pulled one of her hairs out secretly in his teeth, and he wears it. He uses it to floss with.
That is terrifying. Okay.
The most important thing, though, is that his lips have rainbow powers now.
Yeah, so what does that do?
Not canon.
I wasn't aware of this. So what does that do with
rainbow powers?
Yeah.
He can...
Can you summon a pot of gold at the end of your mouth?
His lips taste like Skittles. That's
okay.
All
right.
That's all.
That's it makes him happy knowing that it's
well,
true.
Yeah,
it doesn't
fair.
Really change a lot.
That's fair. And I think Oyarsa was really impressed with your show of loyalty and stuff. So that's good.
Just you may, be noted, River does not like Skittles.
Okay.
They're a gross candy.
That's good news. Hunters Union, they showed up. And they are now part of your crew in terms of gaining people to fight this battle. So, we are now at Hagwarts. In the last one, Bert did leave to go talk to the Assassin's Guild to see if they would join. And he hasn't come back yet. So we're just going to kind of jump in there. Is there anything that you wanted to do at this moment?
I did talk to you out of podcast about speaking with River about her experience with the crazy treants.
River has amnesia and doesn't remember her backstory, so that's probably not going to do you much
good. Well, basically what happened in...
It's not canon because River doesn't really have amnesia, but...
what basically
Adrian
happened...
has amnesia?
Yeah.
What basically happened was...
No, I know what happened. Yeah. I have a specific reason for it.
Yeah. Okay.
As so with everything.
I'll help fill in the blanks.
Okay, well, I don't know if we should save this till, like, we're all back at Hagwarts and...
Well,
like,
you're all back there now, so that's
okay.
Fine.
Well, I wanted to talk to her about her experience with the treants, if she's ever seen them before, which I know, yes.
Yeah.
And also, this is kind of cheating a little bit, but I know in my backstory, that little ball...
The crystal? That was in the ball?
That was in the ball?
Yeah.
She encountered that. So that's what I'm trying to get to, is...
But I don't know that you would have any reason to ask that question, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was hoping that that would come up in the conversation of the backstory, but
well,
Adrian doesn't remember
Bert
it very
also
well,
pulled then. Out one of those crystals because he got it off of a priest and thought it'd be really cool. And Smartledore kind of explained that... that these used to be a gift, because you did
right
your...
to the loyal followers.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. And none of these are technically real from that time. They're all kind of synthetic, created as
just
kind of a show.
Yeah,
they're symbolic, yeah. But these gems do have a capability of conducting magic. Because in River's
right,
story, they
I
used it to cast
that part.
A spell.
I didn't have the orb, I just saw the gem.
You saw the gem, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so... I was hoping that would spark memory for me.
Yeah, I think kind of discussing it, like Smartledore bringing it up and kind of explaining this when you're talking to it, it probably triggered something in River at that point in time, and you guys were kind of like, okay, so we've both kind of seen these things. You found out none of them are, like, officially real. There's nothing super special about it, only that they can be a component in certain spells.
Right. And then I couldn't remember if it's still at my house or if it's with Smarldor.
You gave it to Smarldor. He has it, and he said he has it in hiding.
Okay. So that's what I wanted to make sure of, to protect my family, just in case.
Yeah.
That was the whole roundabout way to get to, like,
yeah,
I know this thing may be dangerous.
Yes.
Potentially. So, and I don't want it around my family.
So part of the memory that was removed from you that you got back later was them bringing you to Smarldor, showing the crystal, trying to figure this stuff out, and he took that and put it in hiding.
Okay. So I just wanted to kind of bring my backstory and her backstory in together.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I know it's kind of a clunky way to do that.
Nope,
but
that's good. There's definitely a connection there. Okay, so you guys are kind of doing your normal duties around Hagwarts, working with civilians, which the numbers have grown again. You're just constantly seeing people come in and take shelter around the school and in the school within the shield. And Smarldor approaches all you guys kind of in your little bunk tower room. And he says, just kind of an update. I contacted the other magic schools around and around the land, and they are sending volunteers. And it sounds like quite a few teachers and headmasters. Because there are a few other kind of schools that Smarldor helped adapt after Hagwarts. Like the cleric school that was mentioned in your newer backstory, which is down south, and a couple other smaller ones. So they are sending teachers, other headmasters, to kind of join you guys and kind of build up this army. and he says, our resistance is growing, but we need more. We have the schools, we have the huntsmen. I just got word that the mining group of dwarves that River knows, they got back to us, so Tank will be coming with some of his people. And of course, there was one more.
I forgot about that. So I've reached out to a few of, you know, the few pirate friends that I have left, and they're on board as well.
Okay, excellent.
Captain Hook and...
So two people are coming.
That's excellent, yeah. He's like, okay, excellent. That's good. At least
I have my, like, thieves guild that I was traveling with right before.
That you were kind of building, yeah. So they're coming in.
So there's, like, you said, like, 20 or 30 people from that?
Yeah, that's fair. And he's like, that's good, you know, anyone would help. And he's like, and I've reached out, and we did have someone else come back, and you can see him kind of looking around, and he's like, someone else, where are they? Unthgar! And you see Unthgar, the barbarian, come up with Lazarus, and he's like, oh, hey! And he says, my clan is with you. And he's like, 100 strong, but we fight like 1,000. So Smarnador's like, yes, the word is getting out after the incident with David and to all the surrounding kingdoms, and we are expected to send their generals to discuss plans. So there's also no word yet from, and he kind of looks up, and you see a look of shock in his face, and he goes, Bert? And through the doors of Hagwarts, you see a couple people with a cart dragging in an unconscious Bert.
Oh.
They are pulling in the cart, and he kind of huddles over. Do you guys kind of go with?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I do.
So you go over, and you see Bert, and it looks like his nose could possibly be broken. He's got a couple cuts on his sides. He is pretty bloody. He's kind of worse for wear. And one of the people bringing him in says, we found him about 200 yards outside of the school. It looks like he was on his way and possibly just passed out. And Smarldor goes, okay, well, I'll see what I can do. And he puts his hands on Bert, and you can see kind of some of the wounds close. He's healing him up. He's feeling better, but he's not conscious. And Smarldor's like, oh. He goes, this might have to be one of those old-fashioned things. And he goes, and smacks Bert, and Bert jumps up, and he goes, ah! And in that moment, you guys see that both of his eyes are now red. And Bert's kind of catching his breath. Did you guys want to ask him anything?
What did you do now, Bert?
He's like, I went to the Assassin's Guild. I talked to them. They said no. The Assassins will not join. I pleaded. I talked to the Guildmaster, but they see it as too much of a risk. So I quit. And he says, they don't take that lightly. So needless to say, I guess I'm in here with you guys.
Good.
Yay!
Good, but also the eyes.
And he goes, what? And he kind of like feels his face and he's like, that had to have been Strike 2.
Hmm.
And he kind of looks at Smarteldor and Smarteldor kind of has a grim look.
I pathicate to Bert so okay. He doesn't have to say out loud, what does that mean?
He says that he doesn't exactly know. Not a lot of people survive long enough, or they kind of get their stuff together. But it's not good. Obviously, it goes to 3. But he's not entirely sure. But he does tell you he's been talking to Smarteldor and has been meeting with him a lot, and they're trying to work out some different protections for him to ensure, you know, like, he doesn't just die one day.
Okay, I ask him, does it have anything to do with Risenvale?
No, nothing to do with Risenvale. It's a specific assassin's thing. When you pledge yourself to be an assassin, there are a couple things that the guildmaster has over you. And one of those is if you break the creed or do something bad, you can be punished in a certain way. So he burned the Book of Risenvale, got the 1. And then now after he quit, he got 2, which Bert is really surprised about, that he just let him live and didn't just kill him.
Sure.
There is a special...
Well, he was a favorite.
Yeah, there was a special thing you have to do when you quit in the Assassin's Guild, which is you lay down all your weapons... You can't use them, and you have to escape the guild. And everyone else in the guild has to try to stop you or kill you. So, you made it out barely, but you did make it out. So, kind of a sign of honor there. okay, so it looks like Bert is officially in with the Hagwarts crew, no longer affiliated with the Assassins.
Got it.
As you're all kind of talking to Bert and hanging out... Smarteldor quickly, like, looks like he's... Something's kind of tickling his fancy a bit, and he notices his fingers are starting to burn.
Okay.
And he quickly opens up Pathicate, and he does a motion to make it, like, speaker, so you guys can all hear. It's out loud.
Okay.
And he kind of casts it in front of all of you.
Hmm.
And you hear a woman's voice, and she goes, Smarteldor! I got word of your request for assistance. We at the Cleric Academy in Ravenshield are hesitant to throw our people into this fray. We are not equipped for all-out war. And Smarteldor goes, oh, look, I understand, Miss Ivy, but this war will happen regardless. We could use people to assist our warriors and keep us, well, alive, to put it bluntly. And he goes, by the way, the Coalition is also on this connection.
Okay.
So she's kind of explaining that she has a lot of hesitation about this and sending her people into this battle to die.
Okay.
And Smarteldor's like, we have... This is our best shot for tackling this, and we have some experts. Geralt, what are your thoughts on how things are going so far?
Well, battle preparations are going well, but we are outnumbered.
Mm.
Very outnumbered. Badly.
Smarteldor kind of looks at you and he's like, bring it up. Like,
basically, we need healers. We have damage. We can do the damage. Mm-hmm. But we need someone to keep us alive to fight them back.
Yep, and he goes, oh, River, what are your thoughts?
On how prepared we are for battle?
Yes, but like, on all the specifications. Like, what chance do you think we have of succeeding in this?
I think we're going to do great. I think... that
he's like doing a thing.
I think we have at least a 50-50 chance.
That's great.
And Smarteldor's like, well, 50-50 is actually pretty good.
That's
considering
pretty good.
The odds. Erebus, how are things going on your end? What do you see?
Well, we've got you know, the tanks and, you know, people that can soak up damage to be out front, and myself included.
Mm.
We've got casters that are going to be able to watch our backs. What we really need is someone to heal us from the back. Mm. And, you know, I understand your worry in sending your people into this, but they're going to come for you either way once this is all done. So if we don't have the healing power to keep ourselves upright and going, and we fail, you're next anyways.
Yeah, and Smartalor goes, Topher, like, what are your kind of thoughts on this, and who recently has joined to kind of help us in our fight?
The Huntsman Union has joined.
And you can hear her kind of go, oh, like, she knows they're a pretty secluded group.
We are few, but we are strong. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not going to lie to you, Mrs.
Ivy.
Miss Ivy. Smartador looks panicked when you say that.
Mrs. Ivy. We could all die. Mm. But the way I see it is we could die in a blaze of glory, fighting for what we know is right, or we could die huddled in our offices doing nothing.
And Smartador kind of goes, like, that went better than he thought it would be. You made a good point. And she kind of says, I understand. That's actually somewhat comforting to hear. I didn't call to say no. I called to ask for a favor. And Smartador says, well, what can I do? She says, my brother, Mercane Armdale, was on a peace mission to Brindlehold. He went missing in the night 2 days ago. We must find him. And in return, every resource we have is yours. My colleague, Volk Jareff, is ready for preparation. And Smartador says, okay, well, I think we can all agree that we will help you in this.
Sure.
He's kind of looking at you guys.
Okay. Yeah.
You got it, Smarty.
And he says, we'll do everything we can. And Ivy goes, thank you, Smartador. I really appreciate your... Smartador out! And he stops it.
Nice.
Good to know he does it to everybody.
So
Corey just interrupted himself.
Yep. You guys kind of walk over, and he brings you to the Hagrid's Library, and he finds a map of Brindlehold. And Smartador decides to send you there and says that if he was there on a peace mission, he'd probably have to stay in a couple different inns. And he kind of shows you their location and where they're at, and he decides to send you guys there. And as you guys kind of leave the room, he kind of grabs your arm, Geralt, and pulls you aside.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Geralt, I just want you to know your parents contacted me. They really want to fight in this battle, and I didn't feel comfortable answering them. As they are getting up in years, it could be possibly a distraction for you. It could be very dangerous for them. So, strategically, what do you think?
I thought long and hard about this. Smartledor.
Mm-hmm.
Just and
well, they
I
bring
think,
their nurses with them.
I think that we band together, and if we die, we die together.
Okay. All right. So I'll let them know that they'll be joining us in the fight.
That sounds great.
Okay. So I need all of you to
take 40 damage.
I need all of you to roll a d20. This is just going to kind of give me an idea on how well you go to Brindlehold and find out information.
I'm going to use luck.
I got a 6.
17.
17.
6.
6 and 8? Okay, I think those two kind of helped you out a bit. You only had to hit a couple of inns, and you talk to a few people, and they explain that he checked in around 6 o'clock at night, fantasy time. He was in his room, and that night they heard quite a few noises from the outside, a few scuffles. And they heard like a small sign of a struggle. They thought maybe someone was drunk, having trouble getting into their bed, but the next morning he was gone. Topher, this seems like something you would want to investigate.
Topher puts his Sherlock Holmes hat on.
Okay, so go ahead and roll an investigation check. 1.
Does it give me...
You better move your napkin and roll that again. It rolled onto the napkin.
I'll let you roll again for napkin reasons.
Does it give me advantage or just like plus...
Was it advantage?
It was plus 1 advantage because it makes him feel better.
Track your own shit, Topher!
I think it was... Was Whoa. It plus 1 or plus 2?
River got River's really on mad. You, bro.
In a really weird in-character moment, River said, track your shit, Topher.
I don't know if it's...
Get the hat. Use it, son of a bitch.
Okay. And let's just add a couple. I don't think it gives you advantage. I think it
was
like a
plus
2
four.
Or...
Yeah.
Was it 4? I don't know.
No, it wasn't that much.
Whatever his investigation is...
Okay,
is
so
plus
not a great investigation. You see some tracks outside of the window. You can't quite place what they are. You do know that they're not human. But you can't really tell where it goes. You can't tell anything about it. Okay.
Do any of us have a chance to do that, or is that just his thing?
Yeah, you can go ahead. I think with Topher's failure, I think he like jumped to the front of the line and was like, I got this, guys, and put on his hat and tried looking around, but he couldn't find
it. I think I draw your guys' attention to the footprints, but I don't know what they are.
15.
It's investigation?
Yeah.
15, too.
15.
We all got 15.
You all got 15. 3 15. Okay, so Topher's just kind of like looking down, like really sad, and as you guys are kind of looking around, you're like, no, Topher, no, really, that's good. It's not human. It looks like it heads off kind of south, maybe. South, southwest, so we can kind of like check that out, Topher. It's cool. No, look, you really helped us, everyone, out, because we got an idea. And then I think...
Someone's going to track his own shit.
And then I think Topher starts to feel a little better.
No, I think he slowly walks away with the Charlie Brown music playing.
Do we know where Mercane was staying?
You found the inn that he was staying.
Can we check his room?
Yeah, you checked out his room. You couldn't find a whole lot. Okay. He came from the Cleric Academy on a peace mission. He didn't have a whole lot of things with him.
Got it.
Do you have a horse?
No.
You walk.
No, you walk. So...
Is there anyone I can ask about it in the tract on Mercane?
Sure. You ask, like, while they're, like, looking around outside, you kind of see what you can see, and you go, and you're like, so what did he look like? Was he, like, good looking?
Roll a d20.
So roll a d20.
He was one.
He was one. They're like, a monster of a man. They're like, it looks like he wrote a cheese grater here.
I imagine Green Day is like, I walk a lonely.
Yeah.
He's in his room.
That was him. It was like a mixture of that.
He has
incredible
a skin
hole.
Disease.
Anyway, that's why he's a cleric.
River's just curious.
He's
how
constantly trying to heal himself of this terrible facial affliction.
Wow.
I'm
not sure if this is canon.
He
should have
became a wizard, and then he could have just used disguise self and made him look like anything.
DM,
oh, he thinks about that every day. Okay, so you guys go back to Hagrid, and you kind of tell Smartle, and he's like, okay, well, this will take some more.
Wait, we didn't follow the tracks?
No, they kind of die off.
Oh,
they don't really go. You can't really tell which way it's going.
With a 15, did we figure out what kind of creature it was that was walking around?
No.
Okay.
You go back to Hagwarts and you kind of explain to Smartledore, and he calls Miss Ivy and says, okay, well, we found a little bit, but it may take a couple of days to kind of get a beat on where he's located. And she says that's okay. So you guys study. You kind of do a rough sketch of what the prints look like, and Smartledore kind of looks through it.
Still prints.
And he says, I need you...
Prints.
Oh, I thought he said prints.
Yep. Jackson prints.
Where's your head at?
So he asks you guys to kind of go out and see if you see anything close out in the wild. So here, Topher and Adrian River would be the best, to check it out. So why don't you both roll... We'll do a survival roll. We never do these.
No,
I like that because I think Topher is actually proficient in survival.
You rolled a 2?
No, I have 17.
Oh, 17?
I rolled a 10, but I have plus 7 in survival.
Hell yeah.
Yes,
forest better watch out.
So it's...
I killed a whole forest.
Nice. 20.
Okay, so you guys go out into the wild. You go in the woods a little bit. You guys kind of hang back and I assume you help.
Oh, we're... Okay.
Yeah, you guys go with and you help out and just trying to put things together. But River and Topher, you figure out that, first of all, whatever took them was a biped. So it wasn't four legs. The spacing was very different than other four-legged creatures.
Kangaroo.
And you find that it could possibly be like a large dog of sorts.
Dallin Watson.
Yeah.
So it's a kangaroo.
Yeah, you know, kangaroo. Yep. Everyone, when I'm like large dog on two legs, they're like kangaroo. That's it.
I'd like to blink.
Okay.
To go into the ethereal plane.
Okay.
And see if I can see anything there.
I'll
have to roll a perception, I assume, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. That is 12 perception.
You don't notice anything like out of the realm of, you know, your normal everyday world.
Okay.
You're able
I was just thinking all that stuff came out of the portal.
Yeah.
That hole in the ground. I was just trying to see, is there anything around us?
That's good thinking. There's nothing around you at this time. Okay. So you can rule out that it's some sort of Nicholas Mage inspired.
Okay. Thing. Got it. Thank you.
Not a two-legged hellhound.
So you are all walking back to Hagrid. Wait.
Did we just find out that it's not from hell?
Yeah.
Nice. Correct. That's really helpful.
Yeah. So you guys are walking back to Hagrid's. It's dark now. And as you approach, you can see the shield glimmering. And you're remembering the latest song that the shield is unlocked by. River, what are the lyrics that you need to say to open the shield?
Poker face.
Okay. So you're kind of singing some poker face in your head. But you're not close enough. You can kind of see it in the distance. Well, actually, do a perception check for me.
Let me use other dice and see how that goes.
Topher sees nothing.
That's my second critical fail in a row.
19.
24.
10. Dang. So, Matt, you kind of catch a blue light coming from the woods, and River, you definitely see the blue light as it's kind of following you guys and hiding behind trees, it seems like. It's just kind of a little blue orb of light that is just kind of following you.
Detect magic.
Actually,
Arcana check.
Yeah.
Let's do that. That would make more sense. Almost fell off the table, but I guess I'll keep it. It's 12.
12? Okay. You are able to assess that this is kind of the same thing that happened when Lazarus died. And you can see it kind of peek out a little bit more from the tree, and it kind of does like a loop and gets really excited, and it flies over to you guys, and it hovers kind of around River, and it kind of hovers around you and is kind of like doing these little dances in the air and kind of hovers kind of back behind you.
Can I... I'm not sure if this would work. It says for the duration you can read the thoughts of certain creatures. Would this work for detect thoughts when you cast a spell? As your action on the end of turn, blah, blah, blah.
You can I'll stop you there. Mind. It's not going to work on this thing.
Got it.
Either way, even if it did work, there's nothing you can really grab from that. So there's this little blue thing. And then you see chaos ahead of you happen at Hagrid's as you get near. And it seems to be kind of following you.
Okay. Can I try to talk to it?
Sure.
Hey, little blue light. I'm Garrel.
It kind of goes behind River.
Okay.
And like kind of peeks out at you.
Hey, listen, I'm a fan of River, too. Don't get me wrong.
It comes out a little more.
But I was just wondering what you doing. What are you hanging around for?
And it just kind of stays floating, does a couple more spins.
Okay.
River asks it the same thing.
It just kind of like rests on your shoulder.
That's it?
I don't know what to do with it.
It can't really...
I was going to do something.
You know that it can't really talk. From what you've known from Lazarus and this blue light that you followed...
I don't have like a...
Okay.
But,
does it blink?
Do you have a name?
Is it Hobbs?
It gives you a great big hug.
It's Hobbs.
Oh my god, Hobbs.
My dagger.
I mean, I don't know this, but... Oh my god, Hobbs.
Apparently I know now.
No, yep. I mean, I don't know this because I don't know your backstory.
So it continues following you as you guys move towards Hagrid's. But something weird kind of happens, and you notice about 10 orbs. Some of them are smaller than others. Kind of like floating down towards the shield. And they are quite a distance above. You don't really notice anything, really. Like, it doesn't seem to be attacking. They're just kind of hovering there. And as you get a little bit closer, you see the shield glimmer. And then you hear an earth-shattering boom. And the shield crumbles from the top all the way to the ground. And these orbs descend. And Hagrid's lights up like fireworks as buildings are being exploded, and you can hear screams from a distance as these orbs descend on the school and start destroying it. What do you do?
I would like to call forth Frank Castle, my side.
Okay, Frank Castle joins you. You're half-sized mini-me. Okay.
Quick question.
Yes.
If I take out my shield and then I transform into something, does it still give me plus two form?
I think that would depend on how big you are.
Yeah, I think it would depend on how big you are. Because if you're about humanoid size, yes. But if you turn into like a T-Rex, I don't think a tiny little shield is going to be like...
What about an elemental?
How big are those?
They're like 12 feet.
Does it say how big?
Well, what is their class? It'll say like large, huge...
It says large elemental.
Large elemental? Yeah. I think that'll probably be a little big.
Yeah, large, so I think large medium is or 10, lower. 10 feet or higher.
Okay. Just curious.
Nope, good question.
So, oh, we're heading to...
I know.
Okay.
I can't find my stinking spell.
Those are all bonus actions, though.
Okay, cool.
That's what
I cast whatever the phantasmal steed or whatever.
Okay, cool. What does it look like?
It should just look like a donkey.
No.
Like a plain donkey.
I feel like wizards and horses just go together, so I'm going to have to... But it's an all-black, like,
black
huge
on black on black.
Yeah, mega,
steed.
Mega steed, yeah.
Just a
mega
horse.
Steed.
Big old horse.
It's okay. A Clydesdale, but all black.
Okay, so are you just on this thing, taking off a head?
We can't all fit on. No, we can't all fit on.
Okay.
I wonder if we levitate his mattress behind us, whether it'll travel the same speed that...
Well, if someone's holding on to it, you could probably, like, tie a rope.
That's fine.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay.
So me and Frank Castle jump on the mattress.
Yeah. So you're having a little bit of whole new world thing going
on. Yeah, it's a flying carpet.
I can show you the world.
Phantom Steve, that's the one.
I'm just fishing. Well, maybe just like, looking over the side of it, all excited.
Okay, that's what I do.
All right.
How far away
are
we?
That's beautiful.
Are there any animals nearby?
There you go. I'm sure a deer.
I'm going to cast Animal Friendship on the deer and have it take me there.
Fucking sweet. Okay, awesome. Okay, so you guys rush towards Hagwarts as explosions and screams are emitting from the castle walls. You guys burst into the room, and you see...
I cast Shield on myself.
You see a lot of things. You see two beholders. You see two zombie beholders. You see two death tyrants and four spectators. All massive creatures. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit before we get into this battle. They are spread out. So you can kind of try to single them out, because now all of the residents in Hagwarts are, a lot of them are in this area, as well as some of the teachers. I'll go into more detail with that. But I had you guys roll a number, because they get 3 blasts from their eyes. So what I'm going to do, instead of being like, oh, they're going to shoot all 3 at Erebus, or I'm just going to have to randomly pick people, I'm rolling a D6. So that's a 4. Anyone have 4? Okay, so if no one had 4, then it would choose a civilian or a teacher to attack.
Okay.
In Hagwarts, as all of this fighting is going on.
Do I need to roll one for Frank Castle? Or pick one for Frank Castle?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay, so you had 6.
I had 2.
5.
And you had 3, right? So he has 4.
He has 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's actually good, because you have a chance of saving civilians.
Or 1.
Because you brought up your mini-me that's going to be fighting with you.
Okay,
true. So you guys will be able to jump around, and we'll do initiatives for every kind of creature you fight. If they're really close together, the other one might be involved. It'll be kind of my discretion as we go into it. So that's how I'm choosing who they're going to attack, because they have multiple eyes, and they can kind of look in all different directions, so you can't hide from them. So there's this massive chaos going in here, and what you see when you walk in is you see one of the large front courtyard. It's not super large. It has some tables. It has like a fighting arena where people train in hand-to-hand. You guys can see Lazarus and Burr out there, spread out among the courtyard, fighting with different teachers. Smartledore is in, like, the center, and he is pointing at older students. He is helping shuttle smaller kids away and people who aren't trained to fight, and he is just taking blasts. But because of who he is, he's not really getting affected. He's kind of getting knocked off balance, but he is focusing on making people run and getting other people together and causing people to fight. Okay? That makes sense? He's conducting as he is yelling at people, like, get out of there! And, like, moving people.
So, I'm in the front, right?
Yeah. I'd say you show up, and then they show up slightly after. So.
Okay. The beholders were there already, right?
They were all there. They were the orbs that descended onto the
screen. So, we burst into the room.
So, basically, tell me where you want to go, and we will move you there.
Where are the
and
most
then we'll
people?
Roll initiative. Where are the most people? They are just spread out
spread
pretty
out
evenly.
Everywhere.
There's a lot of...
Spectator is a... monster, right? Not like a person.
It's a student or a teacher.
Spectator, that is a monster. That is the name of a monster. It's a lesser beholder.
It sounds like someone who's watching.
Okay,
like
so
a
sorry.
Or a
that's.
I just want to be sure.
It's
that
weaker.
So I'm hopping off the horse.
Yep. Because these things have all of these eyes all over the body. That's how they're made.
Right.
So you're not going to get a drop on them. Just
okay.
Period. So you're running up to the spectator.
Okay.
Okay, down kind of by this arena. That's what that little circle is. It's kind of a hand-to-hand arena. So around you, you can see kind of like 30 feet away, way back here. See where you are?
Okay.
You're still kind of by That's an equipment rental building, so you can see different swords, axes, all these sorts of things kind of behind you on these racks that they use for training.
And there's the
arena there.
We're in, like, a Hagwarts?
This is the Hagwarts front courtyard.
Okay.
It's one of the smaller of the three courtyards.
Okay, so I rolled a 12 for my initiative.
12 for Erebus initiative. Mm-hmm.
And then does Frank get his own, or...?
Frank will get his own, yeah.
Okay.
I just had a Red Bull for you or something.
Six.
Do you want some coffee?
Oh, I was going to make
a six?
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay, Adrian.
17.
Garrel, what's your...
One. I got a one.
You got a one.
So I'm not using that dice for this battle, I can tell you that much.
All right. So it's going to start out with you, River. Remember your movement? Okay, you are within, like, 15, 20 feet of this.
So I'm going to cast Insect Plague.
Shit, okay.
In between the two. So
In between the spectator and the beholder?
Yeah, so it's a 20-foot radius sphere. So, well, maybe not hit... I'm going to cast it on the beholder, then.
On the beholder?
If it's 20 feet, it won't hit them both.
It actually will just catch the beholder.
Okay, then I'm going to put it in between them.
Okay.
And it has a 300-foot range, so I can cast it from where I'm standing.
Sweet. Did you want to move back at all?
And then I'm going to move 5 feet back.
Okay.
10 feet back.
Okay. You're kind of around the corner from Garrel of the little rental shed. Okay, so what does this do?
So it creates a swarming, biting locust plague. That sets around a point I choose. It spreads around corners.
Okay.
And it lasts up to 10 minutes.
Is that a like a dex save?
Each creature must make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, constitution.
Or it takes 4d10 piercing damage and or half as much on a fail or a success.
Okay.
So if it when it enters the area and if its turn ends the...
Okay, so it keeps going?
Yeah.
All right. The spectator rolled a 2, and the beholder rolled a 14.
And it has to tie my... or get above my spell DC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a 14.
Tie goes to you, yeah.
Awesome.
So they both take 4d...
Wow.
It's 12. 12.
6.
6?
2. 2.
Yep. Okay. Hell yeah. That's nice.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Oh, and I take my shield out of
his
butt.
Take your shield out of his butt. Nice.
Nice. Good call.
What do you say?
Cherry.
Okay. Good job, River. Erebus, you're next.
Okay, I have a clarifying question about me and Frank.
Yes.
So I'm going to have him be the warlock side.
Okay. So you are now fighter.
Mm-hmm. So he has 2 spell slots. If I dismiss him or he dies, do I... still have my 2 spell slots?
You have whatever he takes.
Okay.
So if he just uses 1 and he dies, you'll have 1 spell slot.
Okay. So I'm going to take out my shield.
Okay.
And throw my blade ring.
Okay. At?
The spectator.
Okay.
You're 15 feet away, Josh?
10 feet away. I have He's a about way 15. Bigger range than that.
Yeah. No, I'm saying are 10 feet away. Do you want to move?
Nope.
Okay.
12?
12 to hit. That will not hit.
Okay, I'm going to throw it again.
Okay.
20.
20. 20 will definitely hit.
Thank God.
So what you got?
16 total damage.
16 total damage to the spectator?
Yep. I'm sorry, 17 damage.
17 damage?
Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and action.
Okay.
Because why not? And I'm going to use luck. 15?
15?
Yeah.
15 will hit.
I think whenever
you use it. Oh, that was a 1. Okay, cool. So you definitely miss. You're not taking any missing really bad.
No. By the way, as of right now, my AC is 21 because 21. I have my shield out.
Okay. Okay, that's going over to the beholder. He is going to...
Oh, actually, can I step in front of Topher with my shield to try and give partial cover to Topher?
Sure. We can do that. We'll move you in front of the beholder here. Okay, yeah. So... 4. Anyone
That's
have 4?
Frank.
That's Frank. Okay. 1.
No, twice. 1.
That's twice in a row.
3.
Me.
3 is you. Okay. So, the beholder goes, and the first one was Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the beholder is going to cast a charm ray.
Counterspell.
You're going to counterspell it? Okay.
Oh, it's probably more like an attack than a spell.
We'll cancel it. Okay, so you...
Good with that?
Shoot an arm over and you like dispel this ray as it's coming towards.
So I can do one of them.
In a full round. Yep.
So I'll save Erebus.
So no, that was directed at Frank.
Yeah,
so
it was directed at Frank, so you saved.
Oh, the first Frank. One.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. The second one, he does a slowing ray to a bystander, one of the civilians of Hagwarts. We'll say he does it to Elder Root, one of the teachers. I believe she's an alchemy teacher. I think the one you befriend.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was in a different one. It's how you learned your alchemy trait. So you hit it hits Elder Root, and you can see her motion kind of slow down across the courtyard. And the third one is going to hit you, Erebus, and it is a innervation ray. So I need you to make a Constitution saving throw.
Really good.
What was it? 18? Yeah, that beat it.
Hooray!
But you're still going to take half damage. So please do the math for me. 2,
mm-hmm.
1, 8,
19,
2,
21,
7,
28,
1,
29.
So half of that. So like 15. So that is the end of the beholder's turn. So now it is the spectator's turn. The spectator number 1.
Nope.
And 3.
That's me.
Okay. So it does, it looks over and it takes a shot at, you can see Melvin from Lazy Brook. He was the guy that was kind of a jerk to you before you talked to Theodore.
Okay.
He gets hit with a wounding ray, a wounding way, and he drops to the floor lifeless.
Okay.
You, Erebus, get hit with a paralyzing attack. Roll a Constitution saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
18. You pass it. So, yeah, you will not be paralyzed for 1 minute.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah, yeah. So good luck there.
Congratulations, you have won.
Next up is... Topher, I don't have you on here for some reason. What was your role?
I told it to you, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
I think you just go after Erebus or whenever, right? In whatever order we had.
7. I am rolling terrible today.
Yeah, I rolled a 1, bruh.
It's okay. So I was off in tracking you, Chris. So, Topher, it is your turn.
Okay.
Hype.
I wish there was a way we could, like, mark effects we've done on the map.
I'm going to fire some arrows at the spectator. Let me roll.
Standard attack?
23,
that'll hit. I'll definitely hit.
Okay. It's D... 13.
13, and this is at the spectator.
And firing a second roller.
Okay, at the spectator?
Yes, sir.
That'll
and
do it.
And that's definitely a hit. And a spectator large?
It is medium.
Okay, same.
All the other ones are...
21. Jeez, 21. I maxed out both my rolls.
Nice. So they both took a turn... while I was making coffee, right? Well, if they end their turn and they didn't move, they didn't take damage from my insect flake. I'm just...
Oh, shit, that's right.
That's
yeah. Oh, yes. Both
how
of
much
them did
damage?
Not move.
They both take...
48 or 40-10.
D10s.
4d10s. Mm-hmm.
5. 8.
13.
4.
17.
5.
23.
23?
Yep, they both take
23. Nice, man.
Math.
I just roll you guys out of there.
Yeah,
for
right.
What, did 20 last?
How is the spectator looking?
Funny thing, first spectator, you hit it with a couple of arrows and the insects get to it and it collapses. The beholder does something kind of odd.
It eats it.
No. It speaks in like this deep infernal voice and it goes... And the other ones kind of, like, turn and react and look at each other, kind of, like, sizing themselves up. And you see them kind of switch positions farther along the
it's
map.
It's speaking infernal?
Yeah.
I can
right? Let me see.
I speak infernal.
Sorry, deep speech. That's what they
okay.
speak. That was my bad. Deep speech, they talk and they kind of, like, reassess and look together. And Topher's fought a beholder, right?
Yeah, he has an eye of a beholder in his pouch. He kept an eye. I don't know if that's relevant.
Okay, it's not relevant, but you do know that the one you fought was on its own. And it seems interesting that they seem to have tactics.
But is it still recording?
Yes.
Yeah, just double checking.
So one spectator is down, and you have another beholder. So we're just going to click on that spectator, and he's gone. All right.
Can
so
we zoom the map out a little bit?
After Topher, now it's Frank's turn. What's Frank doing?
I'm going to use Hex.
Okay.
On the beholder.
What does it got to do? Whatever it is, it failed. So what damage do you want to do?
So it's 1d6 necrotic.
Okay. Say 100. Just say 100.
Yeah, it's 100 damage. So it's going to take 4d6 necrotic damage.
Okay.
14. Oh, you used luck again?
18 to hit?
Yeah, that'll hit it.
So 11 damage.
Okay.
So 15 damage total, and it is hexed.
What does that mean?
So you deal an extra 1d6 necrotic damage to the target whenever you hit it with an attack. Also, choose one ability. When you cast the spell, the target has disadvantage on ability checks with the chosen ability.
Okay.
If the target drops to 0 hit points before the spell ends, you can use a bonus action on a subsequent turn of yours to curse a new creature.
I pathicate to Erebus, seeing him cast the spell, and ask him to do wisdom.
It's Frank.
Hey, Frank! Do wisdom, buddy!
Hey, Frank!
What does he say?
Oh, yeah. He's the Kool-Aid man?
I was going to say, he's the Kool-Aid man.
Also, as he casts Eldritch Blast, a little, like, a pitcher forms in his hand, and that's his weapon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's
okay, so moving on. Geralt, your turn.
Thank the Lord. I cast Crown of Madness on the Beholder.
Okay.
Wisdom saving throw from you.
Okay.
With disadvantage.
With disadvantage.
It'll take the 3.
Alrighty, while the target is charmed in this way, a twisted crown of jagged iron appears on its head and madness glows in its eyes. The charmed target must use its action again before moving on each of its turn to make a melee attack against a creature other than itself that you mentally choose. The target can act normally on its turn if you choose no creature or none is within its reach. I'm going to have it attack the Death Tyrant.
That's behind it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it does that now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
oh, wait, does it do it on each of its turns? I think it does it. So, it's going to attack on my turn, and it's going to attack on his turn.
Okay.
I think it's on its turn.
You know what? Attacks. Let me just double, triple check.
You know what? I don't care. I'm rolling it. 6, 8. 4 8s in a row. Okay, so it turns to the Death Tyrant, and it hits it with a Petrification Ray. And it freezes the Death Tyrant, and it kind of falls to the ground, and it lifts it up with a telekinesis ray and slams it on the ground. And then it uses a Death Ray and blasts it while it's sitting on the ground, and the Death Tyrant is now dead.
Holy shit! Hell yeah.
Nice.
That's teamwork right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you still have this Beholder, and it is going to go back to you, River.
I think the Beholder is the closest creature to us.
Yeah, but we don't want to attack that one. We'll have him attack the spectator or the whatever the other
one
is.
Oh, if we attack him, he breaks from his madness?
He doesn't, actually.
We just don't want to kill it.
I just want to kill it.
Oh, because it's doing such no good damage for us. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
And he has disadvantage on wisdom, so...
Am I within 60 feet of that spectator?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to move... So my spell has a 30-foot range, and I'm going to move as close as I need to use Thorn Whip.
Okay,
Okay, so I'm gonna use Thorn Whip and try and pull him 10 feet closer. So I'm trying to pull him into the insect.
Oh, that is a really good idea.
10 feet closer. Dang. Okay, roll your.
We're getting good at D&D.
Yeah, that's smart.
18.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay, so he's gonna take 3d6 damage.
Okay.
From Thorn Whip.
Two.
6.
8.
12.
Wow. And moved into the insect plate, and then take that damage.
Okay. Cool. Got it marked.
And then,
all right.
Well, then if Frank can get behind
him. Can I move back now?
Yeah.
So I'm going to move back.
Do we take an attack of opportunity moving back? Or is that just disengaging?
Only if you're within
melee range or whatever? Yeah. Okay. So you move back through 30 feet again?
Okay. So after you, it is Erebus.
Okay. I'm going to hit the... I think I'm going to have to move to be able to hit the spectator.
The spectator, you'd have to move quite a bit.
You got 45
feet. Oh, with blade range? Oh, okay.
So I'm just going to step in front of River.
Okay.
That'll hit. 17 plus 8.
Yeah.
So 25.
Mm-hmm.
And 19?
19?
To hit.
Yep.
To hit.
Fucking hell. So 3.
Okay.
1d4. So that's another 1. Jesus Christ. Plus 6.
So 6?
So 10 damage from 1, and 18 damage from the second one.
He's bloodied. So after that, It is the beholder's turn.
Wisdom saving throw?
Yeah, we'll do a wisdom saving throw.
With disadvantage?
With disadvantage. 8 ain't gonna do it.
Okay. I'm not gonna have him kill the spectator. I'm gonna have him move over, up to whatever this next beholder is.
The one above?
Zombie beholder.
Zombie beholder.
Then he moves out of the plane.
Well, I'm still controlling him. I'm gonna use this guy as far as long as I can.
I'll just keep pulling people.
Okay, going after the zombie beholder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think as you start.
And by the way, on each of my turns, I can't do anything else.
Yeah.
Just so you know, this is me
concentrating
for up to a minute, which is 6 rounds of combat,
ten
right?
Rounds.
Okay. 10 rounds of combat.
I think as you're like controlling this thing, Smartledore is grabbing some kids, moving them over, and he dives and like grabs a couple kids as this column falls over. And saves them, and he yells over and he goes, "Garrow!" And he points to the wall that the demon's position.
Yeah, hey, Aure, I need you to kill all these people up in here.
Aure flaps her wings and goes up into the air, and she is now in the fight. So, so what did you wanted the beholder to attack the
zombie beholder. So does Matt roll initiative beholder. For Aure then?
Oh, right. Aure's 11 plus 8. She's at 18 there.
Okay. So the beholder goes over to the zombie beholder and casts sleep on it, and you can see it kind of like fade down towards the ground, and you can see it kind of trying to shake off, and then it does a slowing ray, so its movement starts to kind of go, as you can see it starting to wake up, and it uses disintegration ray. So it is going to do count the numbers for me.
Okay.
One.
Two.
Two.
Four.
Eight.
12.
Five.
17.
25.
3.
28.
8.
31.
7.
No. 28 plus 8 is 36. Yeah, 36.
Oh, plus 28, sorry.
Plus 7 is 41.
And 8.
49. Thank you.
49.
By the way,
you blow up the zombie beholder pretty good. It's very damaged. It's past bloodied.
Okay.
Okay, so now it goes to Topher.
So yeah, I'll shoot the zombie beholder.
Okay.
I'll shoot him real good.
Yeah.
Real good.
19,
that'll hit.
That's 11, 13.
13.
I'm gonna shoot him again.
Okay.
19 again.
That'll do it.
And, 15.
He's dead.
16.
He's dead.
You hit the zombie beholder right in its big old eye, and you just see it like explode as it falls out of the air.
Yes.
All right, so that's gone. Now you have this spectator here.
That's Topher's second.
It is now Frank's turn.
Okay. Frank is going to use Eldritch Blast.
Okay, so I'm guessing he's getting closer to something.
Yeah, so he's going to move up towards the spectator.
Okay.
So 21 to hit.
That'll do it.
11 plus, so 12 damage.
12 damage, okay.
Yep.
You see anything cool?
Oh, yeah!
That's all he says.
He's a man of few words.
Nice. I love it. All right.
He creates a spectral
after
wall,
Frank,
breaks
it is,
through it, and then
it is
has
back
Eldritch
to Geralt.
Saying,
keeping up my concentration and telling Aure to go over to, I can't move, but the other zombie beholder.
The other zombie beholder? Okay.
I don't know what her range is, but I'm telling her to attack.
Well, she's next on that, and Aure flies over, and she, like, spins through a couple of ray blasts from a couple of them, and she just actually jumps on the beholder, puts her hands on it, and casts, like, a giant fireball just directly into it.
Nice.
And blows this fucking thing up.
Hell yeah.
In the group.
Does it hit the spectator?
It doesn't hit the spectator. It just kind of like implodes this fucking zombie beholder. So
that
is gone.
Nice.
So now it's kind of open. You guys have a spectator that you're still...
Now it's the beholder's turn.
After that, it goes to River. River, what are you wanting to do with the spectator?
I'm going to thorn whip it again.
Yep, that'll do it.
I'm going to pull it 10 feet closer, which it should be in that...
Yeah, it'll
plague
be in
now.
That plague now.
So first, 4.
11.
11 damage. And then I pulled it into the insect plague, so it's going to take 4d10 damage.
26? Okay, so you wrap your thorn whip around it, and you yank it over to the insect plague, and they just tear it apart and eat it. The spectator's down. Now, you guys are open to go, and as you go, you're running through, and you are kind of taking a look at the battlefield, and you see quite a few students and soldiers just laying lifeless on the ground, some crushed by rubble from the castle, some blasted by different rays, and Smartledor is trying to, like, pick up children who are injured and move them into safe areas. As most of the normal civilians are gone, and they close the door, and you see Theodore, like, pounding on the door from Lazy Brook, and he's like, "Let me in!" And he gets hit with a ray, and he goes down.
Is he dead?
Yeah, he's dead. Okay, so what are you guys doing? Where are you moving to? You're not in anything right now, so you can choose where to move to or what you want to target to or whatever you want to do.
So I want to go over to the, I grab Frank's hand.
Okay.
Hold on. We saw this beholder, right?
Yeah, it's
yeah, but that's still under your control.
Yeah.
So me and Frank are going to go over to the Death Tyrant.
To the Death Tyrant.
Geralt is going to move, right at the X. Like the crossing between all the paths.
Okay.
I want to be in range of all these guys. Which may not be smart if they have, like, long range attacks, but.
And Erebus, something's going to happen on this move over that we'll address once everyone decides where they're going to go.
Okay.
So, River, Topher, where are you guys going?
I'm going to move in between Geralt and Erebus.
Okay.
That's within 30
feet.
Run
it up here.
Yeah.
Like that. Mm-hmm. Topher,
she's standing on the table.
I'm standing on a table.
Like a badass.
just as far as I can and over towards...
Right next to me, basically.
I like that area in between the beholder and the spectator.
Okay.
But with a table on each side of me, like right there. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Erebus, I need you to roll two d20s. What's your lowest number?
5.
Okay. What was your highest number?
8.
As you start going over, you grab Frank's hand and you kind of shuttle him along the way, but you stop. You are, like, frozen. And as everyone's running towards the battle, towards this, you kind of hang back. And what you do is you make eye contact with Aure. Okay. And Aure is looking at you, and in your conversations in your room, she's kind of been guiding you on how to kind of become a warlock, even though she's kind of under control in her mind. She has free will, but in her actions, she can't do anything. And what she has you do is she has you cut both of your hands, and you do kind of a blood sigil on your chest, and you take out your rapier, and you pierce it through your stomach. And you're going to take about 20 damage.
Okay.
And as you're doing this, you're chanting something. You're not sure what it is, because you are kind of under this control. And what happens is, Aure goes and gains free will.
Oh, shit.
So now, you guys have demons, beholders, and all these things that are now active as Aure starts going after beholders? Sure, but there's a lot of chaos in the way as she's also attacking civilians and all that. So she is now in play as an enemy.
I love putting them through the ringer sometimes. I don't think they're expecting that to happen. Oh well, makes it more interesting. Well, be sure to go on to iTunes, like us, subscribe, leave reviews, anything like that. I hope you are enjoying where the story is going as we start wrapping up our first season. I guarantee you that the second season will have all sorts of new surprises and definitely a different feel. But yeah, new episodes are coming out. There may be a brief hiatus. I kind of talked about that through our Facebook page. But we have some ideas on releasing some content. We have about 3 more episodes in the books ready to release. We just don't have that finale recorded. So hang in there and enjoy.